Hey, fabulous people. This is Camille Forte, thanking you for tuning in with us for, I think, a very important podcast. And as always, I have with me here in the studio the magnificent, the illustrious, the dangerously handsome Michael.
When Michael was in Egypt's land.
Let my Michael go.
I am sick as a dog right now.
Yes, you will be hearing a lot of movie references because poor Mike has been suffering from the most horrific allergies I have ever seen. And I didn't know allergies could get that bad. But business must go on. And so I'm, you know, taking some time away from a lot of questions, and I do apologize to people for that. But something has been coming up over and over again with clients, with prospective clients, with people's questions, and it all boils down to social media strategy. And, you know, let's just put everything on hold and bring it back again to social media strategy. Get it in check. Take a moment and, you know, recommune with your inner strategy, if you will. Even if you do have a social media strategy in play, even if you, or maybe if you think you do, then you know that it's important enough to take at least a few minutes podcast worth of time to check on it and make sure it's doing all that it should be doing for you and what you expect it to do. I actually came up with a Camille-ism. I didn't mean to, but I was thinking about tonight's topic and it just sort of flew out of my mouth. Without a strategy, here's the kicker about social media strategy. If you don't have a strategy, you will have no idea how to measure your progress, and therefore you will never know how far you've come, and then you really won't know where you are, and that defeats the entire purpose of the journey. So that is why there has to be a strategy in place. I was just speaking with someone earlier today who said that they had tried social media for their business before, but they went into it without a strategy, without a plan, and so they got nothing out of it. It crashed and burned.
So. You know what I think is going on in our society with social media is, I'll use this best analogy. I went to Home Depot while I was sick because I needed to build some shelves, and we went through the garden section, and I look at social media as a seed. It's a seed of your business that has to grow, but if you don't water that seed, if you don't put it in good fertilizer, you don't take care of it, nurture it, help, you know, keep weeds out of it, if you just think that, oh, I'm just going to open a Facebook page and everyone's going to flock to it, then you're wrong.
Oh, yes.
And that's the thinking of small business right now is, oh, well, I have a Facebook page and I got 10,000 people that give me word of mouth. Well, guess what? People die.
Yeah.
So, you know, a dead person doesn't speak, but the digital world stays forever.
That's true. That is true. A couple of points you mentioned, which are so important, you know, I mentioned if you already have a social media strategy in place, social media is not a set it and forget it part of your business. Oh, no. Social media is changing all the time, all day, every day, and therefore you need to constantly be updating your strategy, not only according to the platforms themselves, but also according to how effective your current strategy has been so far. And maybe you can expand it. Maybe it's time to reel it in a little bit and say, hey, we've gotten sort of off base here. Let's put in some guidelines and tactics that will get it back on track and we can start cooking with gas again. But you're so right, Mike, in that One of the biggest problems I see is people who get into social media for the first time and think that the Facebook page goes up on Thursday and on Friday they should see sales flood in, or you know, they should be a household name.
Interesting statistic about Facebook. There's 1.1 billion people, from what Facebook says, on Facebook.
I actually saw some of the latest Facebook stats, and it may be higher than that. Because
if it's over 1.1 billion people, and you think that, oh, it's my business name and I'm going to attract 1.1 billion people in three or six months because you're on Facebook, you're wrong. You're so wrong.
You're going to make me geek out, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, okay, so according to the latest statistics, the population of Facebook users is now larger than the population of China. Something that's even more compelling for those who are, I believe, 19 to 24 years of age, they check Facebook before anything else, and that includes using the restroom. Of the entire internet, and I mean everyone, every demographic, every level, whether it's C-suite, CMOs, CEOs, or the end consumer, one out of every five pages visited on the internet in the United States is a Facebook page.
Here's another interesting fact.
Wait, let that sink in for a minute. 20% of the Facebook pages that are viewed on the internet in the United States are Facebook pages. And so when I say that social media is the shortest distance between you and your target audience, it is.
An interesting fact. Two interesting statistics that came up when we were doing some research for this. Out of the average person at their workstation has up to 17 to 29 browsers open in any type of search engine.
You mean tabs?
Tabs. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And out of those 17 to 29, there are three that are always constant. Facebook, Google Gmail, and either Twitter or Instagram, which are all social media platforms except for Gmail. But there are companies that block Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram from their infrastructure. But guess what? Those employees that you think that can't get on Facebook, they're using their cell phones, their smartphones, their tablets. And they're on there sometimes as long as they are at work, and if not longer.
And believe it or not, there's actually been a lot of research done on that. And if you willingly and openly allow your employees to check their Facebook a few times a day during the workday, say 15 minutes morning shift, maybe 15 minutes after lunch sometime, you will have an employee that is more productive, more dedicated, and a lot less likely to be surfing the net behind your back. So it definitely behooves you to not have such a strict anti-social policy in the workplace. But I think we're getting a little way away from strategy here.
No, actually, it's on strategy, because here's another interesting statistic. The average person that spends 1 hour, one constant hour on Facebook looking between animated GIFs, videos, reading other people's posts, will see an average of up to 300 different unique advertisings. From people's, you know, clothing line to Cogs to whatever, they will see up to 300 different types of advertisements.
And that's a great statistic. And the one thing that I hope that our listeners are getting from this little geek out moment here of the stats is that the opportunity, the size of the opportunity. One thing I want to address and get out of the way, if I hear another person tell me that they don't think they can get C-suite level leads from social media, I think I would pull my hair out, but it just wouldn't be worth the effort and the pain.
Here, another quick statistic. We just went to a food festival this past weekend.
This is true.
And one of the taco trucks that were there, I'm not going to say by name because we're not, you know, name dropping, but within the 8 hours they were there, they were retweeted and mentioned over 12,000 times between Facebook and Twitter.
Just say it. Was it Tacoholics?
Oh, yeah. They make the best tacos. If you guys are listening, you guys are awesome.
Deep fried avocado. Where has this been all my life? Anyway, I'm sorry. They handed me the tacos, and I looked. I heard the angels sing. It was like, I didn't know you could deep fry avocado. And as a vegetarian, this was like just groundbreaking.
But, you know, I know we're kind of steering away, but if you look at the social media aspect of it, these are college kids that are trying to make money to pay their intuition, and they opened up a taco truck. I don't know their story, so I can't, you know, talk for them, but they had a simple strategy. If you like what you ate, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram, and people were doing it.
And I think the thing is, to really point out, was that if you think that that's too young a demographic, oh no, because all of the surrounding businesses, aka casinos, were promoting the food truck festival, and so there were people there of all ages, all walks of life. This was not just a quote-unquote young event. There were, you know, a lot of older people there. But guess what? You know, those people who argue, oh, I don't need social media because I have word of mouth. Where did that word of mouth come from?
Exactly.
And I'll strongly urge anyone to go to my site, read my blog, or listen to the podcast about word of mouth. And even if you have the best word of mouth in the history of business, there's a long list of reasons of why you need another infrastructure in your marketing in order to keep word, to generate new word of mouth, and also to generate leads for where word of mouth will inevitably and eventually die off.
So, Camille, so I'm going to be a listener for a moment, and I'm going to say, hey, that's all great. I'm glad you like avocado tacos that are fried and deep fried. And hey, Mike, I think you like food too much. But what if I'm listening right now and I'm a listener and I'm like, hey, I like what I hear, but I don't know where to start. If you had to explain to someone, a business owner, a CEO, a senior marketer, whoever it is, entrepreneur, even just some person that's sitting here right now listening to us, of how to make this happen, how to start this, how would you go about explaining that?
First, it is 2017. If you do not have a social media presence, it is difficult to argue that you have a presence. Even if you have the most beautiful website, it's user-friendly, you've got the navigation down perfectly, great use of graphics, it's interactive, no one's going to know how to get there unless you go to where those people already are, which is social media, and bring them to your brand. So that would be the first thing I say. If you're just starting out, you need to get your brand on social media, because it's really become a point of judgment these days, where if you're a brand or a company and you don't have a proper Facebook page, it's almost a count against you. Like, well, how great can they be? They're not even on Facebook.
Now, this kind of ties back to last week's podcast. Is it more important to have a stable, stronger marketing team to get your brand awareness out? Or is it more of an importance to have a sales team ready to accept any leads that come in? Is this kind of where we're putting the horse before the carriage? Or is it a pony right now before the wood becoming a carriage?
In interesting because in the last podcast, I think it was the last podcast
week.
About, you know, in the digital age, where does marketing end and sales begin and how has that relationship changed? One of the strategies of social media, you know, and there's a few different strategies. It can be brand awareness. It can be to generate traffic. It could be to compete with your competitors. It could be about generating leads and sales. And if it is about generating leads and sales, part of your strategy... and I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, what comprises a strategy. There's a goal or several goals, and then there are a series of tactics and resources with a coherent plan that brings them all together to bring about a desired result. Well, if leads and sales are the core parts of your strategy, then you need to have something in place for your sales team to what to do with the leads when they come in. Because too many people are putting, number one, people are still wasting their time having salespeople go out pounding the pavement or smiling and dialing. And no one really wants to give up their business that way, but they're also making the mistake of having one of the or the biggest lead generation opportunities right under their nose, but they've got no way to close those leads. You could have leads coming in constantly from your social media, and you know, someone may say, well, why isn't the phone ringing or why aren't products flying off the shelves? Well, what are you doing with those leads when they come in? And that's why I believe that lead closure, lead nurturing, sales, whatever you want to call it, it has to be a part of your marketing strategy.
Let me play devil's advocate. I'm a CEO. I'm sitting in my nice car, lucky you, and, you know, you're driving and you're like, hey, I'm going to listen to this podcast of this marketer, you know. Would it be wise to even say that you could even create a checklist for the listeners to download and have it in your next blog?
Absolutely.
Because it's easy for you to sit there with your pen in hand, and it's actually a cigarette, and, you know, talk about this, but... what if the people that are listening now or listening in the future are going to say, hey, I need a checklist. I'm a visual person. Show me what I need to start getting set up. Because they may not have a budget to get a marketing team. Mm-hmm. Or they're a one-man, you know, one-person team.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of their inventory, their sales, they're their own marketer, they're their own sales rep, they're their own web designer, they're their own social media specialist. And I've seen this a lot with small businesses where even, you know, our beloved, you know, bakers in Collingswood that we'd love to death.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, without a plan, there's no execution. And with no execution, there is no glory.
They're getting tons of brand awareness, but will they still end up closing their doors in 10 years?
Or 10 years? You know? I doubt it. They have great work, but for the entrepreneur out there that say, "Hey, Camille, I like what you said, but you know what? I need something visual to help me. You know, can you give me something visual?"
I will definitely, you know, for those who are on a budget, I will be more than happy to put out, you know, a variety of checklists from, you know, what you need to do in order to set up your presence to what you need to do in order to get C-suite leads. Because like I said, there are a lot of people who think that you cannot get leads from people like you, a CEO sitting in a very nice car, and, you know, maybe you only have a few minutes in between meetings. You're still a person. you're still checking on your kids, your grandkids, your friends, whatever the case may be. That means I still have a chance to put something valuable enough in front of you to get your email address and your name.
Exactly. You know, like, again, I mean, I'm not trying to hijack this podcast, but I feel that as people don't understand or they're not grasping right now, Camille, that this is not like your brick and mortar style of marketing and sales, where you just leave it and let it grow on its own. This is, from being a web designer for 20 years, there was back in the day when AOL came out, there were static websites. There were not that much dynamic to it. Mm-hmm. Everything stayed static. Everybody went there, got the information they needed, and left. As the internet grew, sites became dynamic. They grew and changed as the users' demands changed. But business, even now, people think like, oh, I have a great brand. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to put word of mouth, or I'm just going to create a basic website on Wix or whatever that's free, and I'm just going to do everything on my own. And they crash and burn. And then they get frustrated because they have a great idea. They can't do anything with it because there's no marketing involved. There's no sales involved. It's because of lack of guidance and, you know, excuse my French, of all the BS other people that say, hey, can me pay me $10,000 and I will tell you what I think you should do.
Yeah, ridiculous. It is. You're absolutely right. And I think that, to me, VIP days are the most fast and effective ways, but obviously I'm going to be a little biased there. A VIP day, for those who don't know, is that's where I'll either come out or we can do it virtually, and basically I will rotor-rooter every aspect of your... Mike, yes, is a big part of this analysis, especially when it comes to proper coding and user experience and conversion optimization.
Thank you.
But we will rotor-rooter literally everything about your goals as a business, how they translate into social media, what goals you have, what tactics can be done in order to achieve those goals. And it's the fastest, most powerful way to have a complete strategy in motion and working in under 48 hours. Definitely worth the investment, but you're absolutely right. There are so many people who just set it and forget it, and they're not taking into consideration. I mean, what if a lot of these smarter companies out there who know that people are on social media all the time, pick a platform, they're on one of them, they're smart enough to know that it's a fabulous channel for customer service. I'll give you an example. I recently had a client who had a little trouble with their Twitter campaigns. Of all the help forms and trouble tickets and you name it, we got a response by tweeting to Twitter directly. So customer service is a great goal to have for your company, and it's also a very important reputation management tool. I do a lot of ghost works. Sounds like a movie production company. I do a lot of ghost work for other marketing agencies. And I was talking to a client about a client, and they told me that, oh no, this client never really felt that it was important to be on Facebook. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but let me tell you what happens.
Doesn't mean that their opinion's right.
Let me tell you what happens in 2017 if you feel that Facebook is not right for you. I did a search on Facebook. And newsflash, Facebook is not just a social network anymore. It's also a search engine. I searched for the company. Lo and behold, there is a user-generated page. Yes, pages can be made for your company without your knowledge and without your control. And there were a variety of reviews on that page, ranging from 1-star to 5-star. And so that's a serious reputation issue right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you don't feel that Facebook is where you want to be, in your personal opinion, then hey, that's fine. As a marketer, you know, any good marketer can sort of work around or at least test your personal preferences. But the simple fact is that client now has to go back, do a lot of damage control.
And it could get costly to have someone come in and do damage control for you.
Yes, it can. And so it's best to just set it up correctly from the start. And have that strategy in place. And you know, one of the smartest, I think, clients that I have has an entire playbook with ready-to-use answers for the most commonly asked questions and comments made. And so there's never a chance there for any mistakes, you know, like those horrible stories we hear about, like, oh, an intern tweeted that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really us. Uh-huh.
And, you know, truth be told, it's again, guys, it's 2017, you know. We try not to make this sales pitchy because it's a weekly podcast where we talk about things that are going on, you know, to get you informed, you know, but you really got to sit down and, you know, put the ego aside, put, you know, I'm the greatest, whatever you feel that the adjective that describes you best, put it aside and ask yourself one question. Can I afford to be out of business 6 months to a year from now because I am too arrogant not to hear someone else tell me what is best to help me grow?
Oh, and that reminds me of another really critical point when social media is needed the most during times of transition. If your company is going through a change of any kind, whether it's a change of products, a change of branding altogether, maybe you're getting away from products and you're going into services. Maybe you're relocating, maybe you're expanding and going national. Any time of change is a time to leverage social media very, very heavily. And I think that it's also important to remember that if you are not an early adopter and you're just getting into social media now, you may have been a big fish in a small pond before, but on your first day in social media, you are a minnow in an ocean. And so you could have a branding strategy, a traffic strategy, a lead generation strategy, an awareness campaign, you name it, you do have to grow first.
I think what we should do is start wrapping up, Camille, but mm-hmm. I think we should continue the conversation on social media through LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, hashtag Ask Camille. Again, we try to keep these podcasts less than 30 minutes, but this is something, you know, I'm going to talk to Camille off the air about maybe possibly doing a webinar on. You know, and maybe once a month having a VIP day where on LinkedIn she makes herself available and answers any question, whether it's a marketing question to, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, switching from brick and mortar product to digital.
Well, I can't call it a VIP day because that's when I actually go and do a VIP day for someone's company or brand, but an Ask Me Anything
session. We could call it happy hour.
That we could. We'll call it happy hour. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that important. It is that critical because people are seeing your social media profile before they see your website, you know, 9 out of 10 times. And so It is absolutely critical that your brand have its act together on social.
Very much true. So again, guys, use the hashtag AskCamille. Don't be a stranger. You know, we get a lot of questions. Don't feel that your question is not important enough, not smart enough, not anything. Trust me, Camille deals with me, so she hears all the stupid stuff.
And also, don't be fooled. If you, you know, I've seen this before too. If you have a quote unquote social media team that looks very, very, very busy, definitely check on your strategy. Because it could just be a lot of busy work that's, if you know the old expression, boondoggling, I think that was from World War II, you know, making work for the sake of busy work, you might have a team boondoggling, and you might not need a VIP day, you might need a training day where someone comes in and sort of, you know, gets everyone back into shape, sort of a social media boot camp.
Before we go off, something to think about. It's easy to make a meme, but it's not easy in a day to make success.
This is true. And that's what it's about. Longevity, customer lifetime value, you know, that's what strategy is all about. Results.
Agreed.
Not just throwing those old little wonky walkers down the wall and see how long they stick.
On those happy hour days, I gotta warn you, Camille's a talker.
And it's, you know, it's not alcohol. I'm not a big drinker. I'm just a rambler. So, thank you everyone for tuning in, and I want you to argue with me. I want you to challenge me. I want you to hit me up on social media and tell me why you agree, why you disagree. Tell me what I left out and tell me what questions you have. I am here to answer them, and I look forward to hearing from you. So thank you for your time. Remember, money is replaceable. Time is not. Don't ever waste it. Thank you for putting up with Mike yet another week. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm going to go on strike.
You're fabulous. And definitely tune in next week. Maybe we'll continue with a strategy topic, unless you hit me up with hashtag AskCamille and tell me what other topic you would rather I do. Speak up. So thank you, everyone. Have a good one.
Take care.